But we did have a public input for five, and while we do not have a briefing, we do have one person that wishes to provide public input on that, so we will take that now and then move item number, Russ, if you're fine with that, and Melinda, item number seven up so the folks from that are here can listen, and then we'll go to item number six. So for public input, Ann Croker? Craker?
Yes.
Craker, okay, thank you. You lost an umlaut somewhere along the
way. Oh, yes, that would not be possible at all for any of us here to be able to ever do it. So, hi, thanks. And it wasn't a comment on a particular land acquisition because I didn't have those. So this was just more a general understanding information and then comments on, as my new role is on the Wildlife Diversity Advisory Council, to be able to understand better also how Fish and Wildlife get the lands on the acquisition calendar, and which in the easements and which ones. And just as a quick background, again, my name is Ann Craker, and I've been co-president of our foundation, and we have a fund we called Wildlife Forever Fund, which has been now almost 20 years that we've been working with partners. Might have been better to call it Wildlife Habitat Forever Fund, because you don't have the wildlife without the habitat. We have basically worked in Washington State and mostly along the coasts, but not entirely, because of course the wildlife doesn't stay in Washington State. So Oregon up to Alaska, and then a few other key states also, especially for the bird migrations. We worked with a lot of private partners, but some public partners too in land acquisition, because you have federal matches and sometimes and need to work with the partners who are in state. We haven't done this directly. We do it through our land trust and conservancy partners and other supporting people like Audubon and Ducks Unlimited, although they are a land trust. University of Washington, the College of Environment, you know, so research organizations, fisheries support, and all of those who all that's really important for land. But what my questions really were, how, as part of the acquisitions, do you work with the private conservations, and how do you? I know you certainly do with for other value input like fire management, but so in general, that's what I'm looking for, to get that further understanding. And even though we have worked with the habitat diversity, it isn't always for human use, but actually it ends up benefiting human use, because it's about preserving the lands for clean water and clean air that we all enjoy, and then the wildlife diversity. So that's just it was really more of this, of an overview of, I would love to be able to be more in the loop, not only for our own work, but also to help promote, as the WDAC is starting to work on outreach and educational pieces, how do we support that, and where can we reach out to all the different members and community members in our state. More comments, not really sort of questions, but that was it. Thank you very much. Thank you.
And you should stay until item number six to hear some of this. So
I would love to. Okay. Planning on.
And all land acquisitions, I can just say, we work with a lot of 501c3s, NGOs, Trout Unlimited, DU, Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation.
I didn't see those on the map when I was trying to look. So, you know, when they show the acquisitions on which ones are being considered.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
It varies by piece to piece, whatever.
Okay, and maybe in these particular ones they weren't
right
there at all.
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, hang around. Thank you.
And also, we would love the link to that. The WDAC would love the link also for that video, if it's possible.